Ruth Bader Ginsburg once said, "Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you." Hi, I'm Martha Willard, and you're listening to The Life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Each episode, I will go through a different part of the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the former Supreme Court Justice. In this podcast, I will tell you nowhere near everything you need to know about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and this is just a beginner's lesson. Today, we're going to look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's early career and cases. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had many amazing accomplishments on the Supreme Court, but she did many things before that, too. Today, we're going to be looking into some of those things. First, what was the very beginning of her career? There were no laws against gender discrimination back then, so law firms were upfront about not wanting to hire her. And some of the reasons that they didn't hire her was because she was a woman, she was Jewish, and she was a mother. When Ginsburg couldn't find a job, she saw this as a good thing and became a professor at Rutgers Law School in 1963. At Rutgers, she fought for fair pay. When she found out that her male colleagues were making significantly more than her, her and her female colleagues filed an Equal Pay Act, and they won. Ruth Bader Ginsburg then went on to be a professor at Columbia Law School in 1972. And she taught the very first sex discrimination class there. She was also the first woman to get tenure at Columbia Law School. She worked at Columbia until 1980, when President Jimmy Carter, appointed her to the U.S. Court of Appeals, or the D.C. Circuit. Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought she was lucky because she could have gotten appointed to the Second Circuit, which handles less important cases than the D.C. Circuit. She held this position until 1993, when she was appointed to the Supreme Court by President Bill Clinton. Now, we'll hear more about what cases Ruth Bader Ginsburg covered after the break. Here is a short message from our sponsors. H2O, or water. It will keep you alive and is very refreshing. You can only live without it for 3 days. You can also have it hot, cold, or lukewarm, and any way you like. And now, back to the show. So now that we've covered where she was and when it happened, we can go through the different cases she had. First, you need to know she was a women's rights advocate and LGBTQ+ advocate, but she didn't just fight for women. She wanted to make sure there was no such thing as women's work or men's work. An example of this is the Weinberger versus Weisenfeld case in 1975. The case was part of the Social Security Act and favored women over men. It was a man who was a widower. A widower is a person whose wife has died and wanted to spend more time with his son. So he couldn't get a well-paying job and spend time with his son, but he couldn't apply for Social Security benefits because he was male. In the end, the case was won with Ruth Bader Ginsburg fighting for it. You can now hear a clip from when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was arguing for Weisenfeld in front of the Supreme Court, and there will be a link in the description of the episode to the full audio and transcript of this case. I got it from Oye. You can now hear a clip from when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was arguing for Weisenfeld in front of the Supreme Court, and there will be a link in the description of the episode to the full audio and transcript of this case. I got it from Oye. You probably noticed that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, "May I please the court," at the beginning of the clip, and that is out of respect. It is also traditional to say, "May I please the court," and it is so you have a better chance at pleasing the court. And now we'll go on to some different things about what Ruth Bader Ginsburg's jobs were like. In the 1960s, Ruth Bader Ginsburg presented 5 other landmark cases in front of the Supreme Court on gender equality. As she pleaded, the law was gender blind. She founded the American Civil Liberties Union branch at Columbia Law School, and as I said earlier, she fought for fair pay for her female colleagues. So I was watching this movie, The Basis of Sex, earlier this week, like I said in my last episode, and she had another case where basically everyone who she taught in her class in the movie then helped her win another case where the opposing side listed all the laws with gender discrimination. And they went and looked up every single law, and it was at least 50. And they looked up every single law and made sure that they were all really laws. And I just thought that was really cool, and that was a good thing to mention, because it was also the first sex discrimination class at Columbia, like I said. Ruth Bader Ginsburg also said in the movie On the Basis of Sex that she didn't just want to be teaching the next generation how to move women's rights forward and sex discrimination forward and abolish it. She wanted to also be there and be working as a lawyer and not just teaching people how to make it go away. And that's it for today. I'll see you next time. To end this week's episode, I'm going to talk about the ACLU because someone wrote in and asked what it was. So the American Civil Liberties Union was founded in 1920, and it was to defend and preserve the individual rights and liberties guaranteed to every person in this country by the Constitution and laws of the United States. So this means that they were laws that said everyone was equal, but law enforcement and the government showed bias that showed that they didn't think everyone was equal. And the ACLU wanted to protect those people and make sure that everyone was counted as equal and people just didn't say they were equal and then not treat them that way. So you might never have heard of FOIA. And it is a free law project from Cornell's Legal Information Institute, Chicago Kent College of Law, and Justia. It is a archive with many medias, and it is trying to make the Supreme Court of the United States accessible to everyone. It's the most complete archive of all the court's audio since a recording system was installed in October 1955, and OIA also offers transcripts of the oral arguments and searchable audio, and there are also full-text Supreme Court opinions and illustrated decision information. And OIA also provides detailed information on every justice throughout the court's history and offers a panoramic tour of the Supreme Court building, including the chambers of several justices. Thanks for listening to The Life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you want to learn more, you can check out the other episodes on Spotify and find the episode descriptions. I got my information from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Encyclopedia Britannica article, written by Brian Swinthowski and Aaron Houck. I also used the Good Housekeeping article, Here's How Ruth Bader Ginsburg Changed American Life for the Better, written by Katie Burrup. I also used History.com, the article on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, written by the History.com editors. As well as those, I used the NPR interview with the interview as Nina Totenberg. It was called Do You Have Any Regrets?
I also used the New York Times Judicial Legacy section on Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her obituary from New York Times. And I used the Oye Ruth Bader Ginsburg article and the Stanford Lawyer interview with the interviewer as Elizabeth McGill.